It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Okay, here's trivia question for you. What famous voiceover talent said, "Raids kills bugs fast, kills bugs dead"? How about the Head and Shoulders? That little itch should be telling you something. Or my favorite, "It's the cereal that even Mikey likes." You guessed it, it's our Chicago-based talent, Harlan Hogan, one of the most famous voices of the 20th century. And who would forget? This program was made possible by viewers like you.
Thank you.
Harlan, we're so happy to have you with us
this
morning.
Thanks
what
for
an
coming
honor.
On.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks.
So who is Harlan?
Oh, that's what you're asking me?
Yes, that's the question.
Oh, it's one of those open-ended guys.
Yeah.
I get back to that next week.
And it caught you off guard.
I think you really caught him off guard.
I know.
Harlan, you gotta get the coffee for Dan. He's going to keep you on your toes for sure.
That's a very simple question. It's a very complex. I'll tell you what. Who Harlan is? Harlan is old for openers. but I don't know how that happened. You do know the stages of an actor, right?
What are those?
It's a quote supposedly from Herschel Bernardi years ago, but it basically is, so you're an actor starting out, and people say, who is Harlan Hogan? And then your career goes along, and they say, get me, Harlan Hogan. And then your career goes on a little longer, and they say, get me a Harlan Hogan type.
Love
and
that.
Then your career hits the point where they say, get me a young Harlan Hogan.
Perfect.
And then finally,
who is?
Who is Harlan Hogan?
Yeah.
But anyway, no, that's not, I think it's kind of fun.
That is nice. Very
there's
nice.
There's truth to that. no, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I am absolutely 100% so lucky. I can't tell you if I've had a great life and intend to continue having a long, nice life. But to find something, you know, which is voiceover, quite by accident, and ending up being an actor for 40 years now.
Wow.
My living is something I love to do. That doesn't mean I haven't had lots of ups and downs, because, of course, we know that. You know, it's not a carousel, it's a roller coaster, and that's the deal. But blessed with that, blessed with a great family, great, you know, hobbies, great friends. I mean, sometimes I just sit around, and this sounds really corny, like I pinch myself, because I'm a guy, you know, I grew up in Lansing, Illinois, which is way, way, way south, and my dad worked in a steel mill. My mother was a dancer in vaudeville, so there was a little theatricality, but not a good student. And frankly, I mean, I thought, well, I would look in the mirror and go, you're doomed, buddy. I mean, you were doomed. About 9, I got some money for a birthday, and some uncle or somebody had shown me a couple of card tricks, and I kind of got intrigued with magic, so I took my $10 or whatever it was and went to a magic shop. And, yeah, I probably would have found my way into this world some other way, but I've always loved magic for that, because it got me out of my shyness.
Wow.
A magician is nothing more than an actor playing the part of a magician, but a magician has power and can do something most people can't do. It's very appealing to a nerdy kid with bad grades and no prospect. So that got me out of that, and I started, you know, in the junior high doing, we used to do radio shows in junior high. Radio shows were almost over then, but I had a teacher who had an Ampex tape recorder, and to keep the raging hormones at bay, he would have us do, you know, the homeroom, do radio shows, which I really liked. And then did some plays, did my magic act, and one thing led to another, ended up getting a Bachelor of Fine Arts in theater, worked in radio, still knocked around in terms of business. I was the world's worst computer salesman. I mean, absolutely, it's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
What did you sell, half of a computer? Was that it?
I did a ton of community theater at that time. and that was good. So finally, you know, you wake up one morning and go, why am I spending all my nights and weekends in this world of the theater, which I love, and then hating the other 5 days of the week?
Wow.
And we all go through that, I think, when you finally go, it's not a dress rehearsal, you got to give it a shot. And I did, and I hit the business at a very good time. I didn't know that, but at a good time when video was coming in, so there was lots and lots of training films you could do. And Chicago's always been really good for non-broadcast stuff. I mean, we have Baxter and Abbott and McDonald's and all these big companies who were doing training, originally slide films. That's up there with reel to reel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those were the exciting days of multimedia.
Yeah. Harlan, your voice, speaking of magic, your voice has brought magic into the scene. I mean, really prolific voiceover talent for almost half a century now. What was the defining moment for you where you said, all right, I'm going to do voiceover as my career? How did that moment happen?
One of the great things, honestly, about failing a lot in business, I tried advertising agency, but at the advertising agency, which was J. Walter Thompson, I discovered, there's these people that come in. They're not dressed that well, actually, but they go in and they're talking to a microphone and they get checks. Wow, how do you do that? So when I quit, I did not say I'm going to go be a voiceover person, but it didn't take me very long as a business person to figure out the money was in voiceover here. They shot the commercials on the coast, by and large, but they would do the singers and the voiceover work back here. So I'd say, after about a year or so, and I completely remember my first actual voiceover standing in the studio. I had done an on-camera thing for the United Way here. I was like, believe it or not, a young coach with a bunch of kids teaching them some stuff. And
so you were the coach.
Yeah, I was young.
Even though you couldn't call anyone coach
and,
at one time, right?
You know, circles complete.
Yeah, right. And then going into the studio and doing four or five tags for it. Because, advertising is the same way here. There's always these rules. So one of the rules was that the tagline was, Crusade of Mercy or something like that. And the line was, thank God you can give. Okay. Mm-hmm. But on some channel, you couldn't mention God. So you have to say, thank Sam, you can give. No. You have to
say, close enough.
It was something like, be grateful you can give. Okay.
Right.
So we do those, and it's like three or four takes. Hey, fine, that's fine, Harlan, thanks. I was actually doing the voice as well as the on-camera. I did not draw a line in the sand right away. I mean, I did, obviously, everything you can do. I actually did runway one time.
Runway?
You mean like a fashion model runway?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
So you put on a suit, or was it a swimsuit?
Yes. See me right now, you would see, of course, the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Do you remember? Who was the designer? Where was it?
So, one of my, his name was Ed, his actual name was Ed Sullivan, but he had to change it like a lot of us had to because that was fine. But he called me up when, so we're young actors. He said, hey, Harlan, what are you doing Sunday? I said, nothing. you want to do this modeling show? I said, no. It's easy. It's $30. Is it $30? Cash money? Yeah. How long does it take? Take you about 30 minutes. Sure. It's the most embarrassing thing in the world. So I show up and I've got like blue jeans on and a jacket or something. I mean, I said, so what do I do? So what do you mean? What do I do? Oh, okay. When they nod to you, you walk out to the end of the runway, look to your left, look to your right, turn around, pause, walk back, and we hand you a check. It's almost as good as voiceover.
Wow.
Okay. And then as I'm about to do it, he said, oh, Harlan, what? Look bored.
That's the key.
Think about it. That's what they do.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Walk out, they look totally bored.
Disengage.
They turn, you're walking back thinking, God, my butt is so fat. God. But anyway, my point is that I did what every actor does. You do every job you can find, mm-hmm. With it. trade shows, whatever. But yeah, I was in. Did join the union. You had to hear both right. unions act.
And what was your breakout role? I mean, what was that role that just your biggest breakout role that after that it got a lot easier and you were no longer doing runway modeling?
Yeah, exactly. Arthur Anderson, the accounting firm.
They used to exist, right?
What's that?
Didn't they go under? That they were involved in that whole thing.
They
changed their name or something. Anyway, we digress.
I still work with them occasionally, but it's Accenture now.
Right.
And went into this thing. I had my only suit on, and there's about six people there, and they were suits. I mean, they were all dressed like accountants because that's what they do. Mm. And it was going to be a series of video training films. They set up a studio out at Arthur Anderson, a big campus out in St. Charles, and realized how much money they could save doing all the training from there using actors rather than flying people in from all over the world. Hmm. So they were just starting with this stuff, and there's a lot of computer stuff and phrases like circularization of vendors and things. And so I go in because they wanted, I was the average age of one of their people they'd be training, along with, every other young guy in town. So we do this live on-camera audition, and as it turns out, I pick up the script, and it's heavy computer ease. I look at the script, because when I was trying to sell computers for Honeywell, they sent you to computer school. I mean, this is, heavy-duty computer school, calculating crap, Mm-hmm. So I get the script, and it's full of things like sys1.jobqueue and tree-like hierarchies, and I do my best on the audition, and I walk out, and the director, producer runs out, and he said, Harlan, my name's Bill Wilhelm. Listen, I got to tell you, we've seen like 25 guys today, but you're the only one that sounds like he knows what he's saying.
Perfect.
And I said, well, I worked for Honeywell for a while. And he said, well, I want to tell you something. You're going to work a lot for us.
Wow.
That was my first. It wasn't commercial. It wasn't glamour. But they hired me for over 100 videos.
Wow. That's awesome, Harlan. That's amazing. So, you have done so much work through the years. What are some of the more interesting, copy scripts that you've gotten? What have been the most interesting and challenging for you?
Most of them are interesting and challenging. The joy and then the pure dumb luck of the business was that I got into it when there was so much commercial activity going on here. Mm-hmm. I hit it at a time, it's pure luck, where the sound was going away from the big, deep voice guys telling, so for example, Danny Dark, who I admired very much, did Raid, and it was, Raid kills bugs fast, kills bugs dead.
Love that.
And so I'm hitting the business when that's shifting, because we're the baby boomers. I used to call myself, and I still do it sometimes, the voice of the baby boom. So I'm 29 years old. I get Raid. I go, Raid kills bugs fast, kills bugs dead. I'm up here. I'm young. And actually, it's funny, on that particular thing, when they switched from Danny to me, they would always have me do it this way as an homage to Danny, because they loved him, but he was the wrong voice for that generation, mm-hmm. just as I would be the wrong voice for the millennials. Mm-hmm. So we'd go, Raid kills bugs fast, kills bugs dead. And I would go down on it like Danny. So the breakthroughs for me were things like Raid, Head and Shoulders, Hallmark, Secret. I mean, we had these great jobs. And you could frequently would do the tag, good things come to those who wait, Heinz ketchup. Probably arguably the most famous commercial I've ever done, which is still on the top 10 list of commercials, is Life Cereal from Quaker. It's the cereal even Mikey likes.
Oh, wow.
We love Mikey. He'll like it. Yeah.
I did that for decades. I mean, they would come back every 5 or 6 years and redo.
Wow.
So probably a grandfather by now.
Yeah. So that was kind of the breakthrough was obvious to me. I'm making way more money voiceover. Not a problem because of Arthur Anderson.
Right, right.
They were good to me, but I really couldn't, as a business person, make sense of going out there and shooting 3 or 4 days on a video, being tied up all day long when, I might go in the studio and, do a spot that would pay the mortgage that year.
So it was a very practical decision for you at the time, but you said that, you know, you're just having fun doing all of this. So you clearly loved and love doing it, right? I mean, it wasn't just about the money, I would think.
Right. No, I loved all of it. But, you know, pragmatically, I got two kids, a wife and a house. And you know, if you're looking, man, I'm being real serious. Now, you look at a check and you go, holy crap, you know, I recorded those four or five or six. Not that the, you know, you guys did do enough sessions. They're not always easy.
Right.
But the longest I ever did was 4 hours for Pizza Hut. The line was, let yourself go to Pizza Hut. That's it. Let yourself go. And started doing it, and one by one, account executives came in, and people came in, and you know after you read something 8 or 9 times, it's very hard to change it. It's in your bean now. And then let yourself go to Pizza Hut. Let yourself go to Pizza Hut. All of these variations. Mm-hmm. Someone, you know, I really think, what's your name again? Harlan. Yeah. I think, what's his name, should say, let yourself go. Yeah, well, Harlan, hey, yeah, let's emphasize yourself. Let yourself pizza. 4 effing hours. 4. But, yeah, seriously. And I left and I went sweating. And I kind of had a moment where I thought, I don't know if I want to do voiceover. And that was early on. Of course, that's the exception. Usually it's, right. You know, 10 minutes shorter of talking and 5 minutes in the booth. Right. And they did stick and they did run. And, you know, again, you look at that and say, well, how can I use my time and talent in the best way? You know, it was great. And that's part of my statement that I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
You are. We agree. And I have to tell you, I mean, I can't imagine what you have seen in the business over 40, 45 years. What have been some of the major, major shifts that you have seen happening in the business from the advertising perspective, but also from the talent perspective, maintaining this long career, this long legacy that you have?
I understood it was a business. It was going to have to be a business because I had set very reasonable goals. And if I couldn't make a living at it, I was not going to be a fool. I was not going to be one of those people that, you know, can't support their family and is miserable on that. And I could continue to do theater and maybe some magic performances and stuff and have some fun. You know, say, well, I tried it. But I looked at it as a business. The other thing is that I always promoted, always promoted, always promoted.
Right.
Something most people don't want to do. I think in most of us, there's a little bit of that shyness, like, well, I could sell something else, but I couldn't sell myself. So here's my one of my favorite quotes, which is from P.T. Barnum, who is a fascinating character, arguably the best promoter in history. He said, without promotion, something terrible happens. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful.
Wow. Well, you know, you've had a fascinated and fascinating and continue to have a fascinating life. And as I listened to all of the things you told us about, three things really popped out at me. First of all, that you were always working. You said you were doing community theater. Even when you weren't settled on what you were going to do, you were working. Your legs were always moving. I also liked what you talked about when you admitted that you were just a failure in trying to sell computers. And we all fail in life, but you didn't let that stop. You didn't go and hide in a cave somewhere. You pivoted and you were able to find something and become quite successful. And the other thing, too, which is I think we all struggle with doubt sometimes. And even you at the top of your game, you're there and you're worried. You walk in and you see, you know, other talent that has been up for a role and you start having doubts, but you still performed and you got it. And I think all of those things for someone on the outside looking in or someone on the inside looking to move up, these are all good points, I think, to help them on their journey.
That's right. So beautifully put. And as we wrap up, Harlan, I just want to do a quick plug and maybe you can talk for just 30 seconds to wrap on your wonderful website, your incredible products and services that you're offering. We're sending our coaching clients to you all the time to get your mobile setups. Can you talk just for a moment about that?
Well, I could talk for days on that.
I know you can.
Well, we start charging you after 30 seconds.
Yeah. Here's my wife, my beautiful wife, Leslie, of 28 years now.
Congratulations.
Who I asked to marry me on the first date.
Wow.
She was an agent here in Shirley Hamilton's and then was an agent and created the voiceover department. It's to her talent. And then wisely got out of the business. The reason I married her was the only way I could get her to return my calls.
That's right. That's right.
But Leslie's line is, Harlan can talk the paint off a wall. So, but I'm the most reluctant retailer in the world, but I had come up with this portable way to record, you know, and I sent out it wasn't a promotion. I just put it on the internet and said, here's a way you can make this thing. And the next thing you know, people wanted to buy them, and I started making them. And then I looked at microphones, I looked at headphones. So it's voiceoveressentials.com. We just did a whole new website, which allows me a lot of freedom. It's on Amazon too. And, this is a whole other world for me. It's actually been great fun to learn or try
it's
to
awesome.
Learn detailing.
It is truly awesome, Harlan, and I can't tell people enough, please check out that website, check out those products. We have those demos at our studios as well, and we just love them so much.
Yes,
wow.
We do.
Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. It's nothing but fun.
Yeah, and I think this is all great stuff for it's inspiring, actually, you know, just even though we've been in the business, certainly not doing what you're doing at your level, but we've been in the media business for so long, and it's great to hear about the journey, how other people got to where they got, and it's been, an inspiring story.
Harlan, can you give us a really great outro to get out of this thing? What's your best outro you can give us right now?
My best what?
Give us a one-liner to end this show.
Oh, a one-liner. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the pressure.
Yeah, pretend like pretend we're
no
one
stress.
Of those executives walking in just by, you know.
People who know me well, when I've done any training or teaching, which I don't generally do, a couple workshops once in a while, one in San Francisco because I just like to go to San Francisco. That's the truth. But here's the thing. To me, the work of voiceover work is getting the work.
Mm.
Talking in the microphone is your reward. Like any actor, auditioning is the work of getting on stage. When you get on stage, you get to play.
That's
the work. And I think we get it turned the other way around. So that's why promotion's so important, and marketing, and meeting people, and just being available, you know.
Right.
So that to me is the most important thing. That's the real work, is getting the work.
Great.
Words of wisdom to live by. Can't beat it. Thank you so much for joining us, Harlan.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great fun. Thanks.
Loved every minute.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?